The title is now about spiritual gifts. In the Bible, we can see three types of spiritual gifts. There's the motivational gifts. These are gifts that lead us toward a style, particular style of serving others. And so the book of Romans talks about those. And then there is what we call the ministerial leadership gifts. Ministerial leadership gifts are those are the ones that equip the church for service. So then there's also the manifestational gifts. And so the manifestational gifts, these are really the supernatural gifts that demonstrate the presence and the power of God. Now, as a Spirit-filled church, we believe and we teach in the working of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and within the framework of the church. Now, I was talking, as Pastor Cindy was as well, talking to a minister today. We spent probably 3 hours on the phone today. And we were talking about this subject of spiritual gifts and just talking about the church and the health of the church in general and so on and so forth. And so we began talking about the fact that in many, many churches across the board, I don't care what kind of title you put on them, what denomination, the spiritual gifts are almost non-existent. I mean, they're just not practiced by people. Now, there are many churches who do, but so it got me looking at, you know, at our church. Let's look at our church because this is where we are. And he was talking about how in the church where he pastored, he said at least every year or so, he said, I found myself teaching on the spiritual gifts. And then he asked me, he said, if you don't mind me asking, when's the last time you taught on specifically on the spiritual gifts? I said, well, we kind of talk about them, you know, from time to time, but as far as a direct teaching about that, it's, I'm thinking at least a couple of years. Come to find out, it's been like 4 years since I specifically taught on this specific subject. So that's what I want to do. This is going to be just a refresher for many of you. And so I want to teach on this third set of gifts, and that's the manifestational gifts. Now, in the classes, in the infusion course, it actually deals with those other gifts. And there's even a gift test you can take and that kind of thing, and to find out, like, how do I serve best? What's the best way that I can serve as a Christian and in the church, so on and so forth? And that's all part of that course. But we want to talk about the manifestational gifts. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us 9 particular ways. There are the gifts, but there are 9 particular ways in which the Spirit moves in and through the lives of believers. And I want to refresh you on these gifts, really what they are, how they function in the church and the lives of Spirit-filled believers. I thank God that I grew up in a church where I did see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. There were people, and it wasn't just the pastor, but there were people in the congregation who operated in these gifts. And so, of course, as a pastor, the ministerial leadership gift, my job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And in order to do the work of the ministry effectively, we need, all of us as ministers, need to have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives. Would you agree? Because it's not something that He ever intended for us to do in the flesh. And so I want to talk about that, how they function, what they are, and also how to open yourself up for these manifestations to operate in your life. Now, for some of you, I know some of you guys went through our ISOM course, and if you went through the ISOM course, it really dealt a lot with this understanding of spiritual gifts, and I really do like the way that was taught. It was taught by a man by A.L. Gill was his name, and did a really good job that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, it says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, and by the way, when he says brothers, he's not just talking to the brothers, it's the brothers and the sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. And we could say, the King James says, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, or the King James says, discerning of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, before we look at these gifts or the manifestations of these gifts, let's look at a few verses that Paul, we just read, but let's just kind of break it down a little bit, that Paul gives some understanding about the operation of the Spirit. In verse 1, it says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." So how many of you know to be ignorant means to just not understand, to not know about? So obviously, the Apostle Paul is seeing there is great importance in knowing about and understanding the operation of these gifts. And why is that? Because he knew that if we didn't have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, we would try to do it on our own. We would try to do it in our own flesh. That's why much of the church has digressed, and I would say digressed, down to nothing but performance and entertainment. Because you got to do something to get people in, right? And if I can't do anything on a spiritual level, well, we can do something on some kind of a physical level to make it happen. You know, we can at least keep going. We can at least go through motions. We can at least have something we call the church. But if there are no spiritual gifts in operation, then you have a bunch of people gathering, but the Holy Spirit has nothing to do. And so it's important for the church to have a working understanding of the important place of the Holy Spirit and His operation and His manifestation within the church. Now, in verse 3, it says, "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So the gifts and the manifestations and the working of the Spirit is always supposed to point to Christ. And that's why he's bringing this up, is that as the Spirit is manifesting gifts through his people, it ought to point people to Christ. And that's important to understand. And I'm going to kind of deal with this here in a moment. But there is a danger of a Christless Pentecost where gifts, and I've seen it, where gifts and demonstrations or manifestations of the Spirit of God take precedence over people being drawn toward Christ. So what we've seen is over and over again, you will see this in the church. It's that pendulum. There's a guy years ago wrote the book called As the Pendulum Swings. And in the church, you see this pendulum. And in that pendulum, you'll see it goes from legalism to liberalism. Okay, and countries do that, by the way, as well. But it goes from legalism to liberalism, but it also goes from spiritual gifts, and then it gets pushed out to an extreme to where all of a sudden it's nothing but a freak show, and God's nowhere near it. It's just learned spiritual behavior, and you got people doing all kind of crazy stuff, and the Holy Spirit's nowhere around that, but they've learned how to do this, and they think that weird means spiritual. Okay, now God may do some weird stuff. I mean, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But people began to look at these certain manifestations, and because they wanted to look spiritual, they would begin to mimic these manifestations, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So as a result of that, you got people that react to that, and they say, "I don't want all that crazy stuff." And they go way over here, and they just exclude it all. They say, "Wait, we don't want that, so we're just going to come over here where it's safe." Well, neither one of those is good. God always intended for his church to have the Holy Spirit in operation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in and through his church. And so, basically, the Spirit doesn't come to compete with Christ, but the ultimate goal in being used by the Holy Spirit is this, to point people to Christ and to build faith in the lives of people. And so, verse 7, also, Paul points out, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now, the King James says it this way, "to profit with all." It's given for the common good, to profit with all. Manifestations of the Spirit of God are supposed to benefit the whole body. They're supposed to benefit others, right? And so this is extremely important, because understand that the gifts of the Spirit were never intended by God to be used by someone to bolster their own sense of self-importance or value. And so what will happen is, and I've seen it, and maybe you have too, where people will actually begin to misuse the gifts of the Spirit instead of using them correctly for the body. It's about drawing attention to themselves to bolster, you know, the way they look in front of other people. And so the gifts were never intended to do that. And by the way, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit to give us value, right? We have our value is found in the fact that Jesus Christ shed his blood, that God was willing to spend the blood of his own son to purchase us. That's what gives us our value, right? So also the gifts of the Spirit were never intended by God to make a Christian celebrity out of anybody. And that's one of the ways we went wrong, because, listen, Christians are always looking for a celebrity. I mean, we need somebody, we want somebody that we can put up there and they become celebrities. Well, God doesn't need any more Christian celebrities. What he needs are faithful men and women of God who will say yes to him, who will allow him to flow through them, who are willing to look at and understand that people desperately need what God's given you. And by the way, we've seen over and over again, we've seen the celebrities fall one after another after another. And so as the Apostle Paul said, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, again, the spiritual gifts, another thing that I've seen, unfortunately, in our circles, is that the spiritual gifts were never intended by God to use as a weapon against people or to hurt people. And I have seen people misuse spiritual gifts. Now, when we start talking about the vocal gifts, we'll talk more about this and how to properly use those gifts, and not just the vocal gifts, the gifts like word of knowledge and word of wisdom, so on and so forth. And I've seen people take a word of knowledge and hurt people with that word of knowledge. God never intended for that to happen. We'll talk more about that, but they were never intended to be used by God as a weapon to hurt people. When we first came to iWay, you know, there were a group of people meeting, and there was a guy there. I won't say any names or anything, but there was a guy there that would tell everybody he was a prophet, and he would prophesy at people. Did you hear what I said? He'd prophesy at people, and he thought he was being so godly. He thought he was just, but he was hurting people with his words. He was misusing. If it was a legitimate gift, he was using it in an illegitimate way, and he was hurting people with it. That wasn't what God intended. Now, it's one thing to bring correction out of a motive of love, but this guy was so stuck on himself, and he just was so consumed with, I'm a prophet, that that's all he really cared about. And so when we first came, I'm going to tell you, that first week I said, Lord, I'm asking for a favor. Please tell that guy to leave this church. Now, the good news is within 2 days, that man walked in to the church and he said, I want you to know right now, I'm a prophet from God and I can hear God's voice clearly. I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, and God told me to leave this church. And I said, praise God. I think you're hearing from God very clearly. I really do. And I started shaking his hand while I was kind of pushing him out the door. God bless you. Have a wonderful life. I know we heard from God in that time, that moment anyway. So again, the manifestation is given for the common good. It was never intended to hurt people. And so also understand that the gifts do not belong to us. And this is important too, because this is another thing. I'm hitting on all these things because these are things that I've over the years run into. The gifts do not belong to us. None of us have the right to say, I have this gift or I have that gift. They're not our gifts. They're the Holy Spirit's gifts. Okay? And this is a little different than what many people teach about this particular subject. But they are the Spirit's gifts. We are a pipeline for those gifts. And the one that he gives it to, he's not talking about giving us the gift so we can use it. He's talking about we are a pipeline, and the person who's receiving the gift is the person that's receiving the manifestation or the blessing of the gift that is needed in their life. And God uses us as a pipeline to operate in those gifts to bring life to people. So we are the pipeline. The gift does not belong to us. So, and it's important, really important to understand that, because I have seen people get very prideful and speak in a very haughty way. I have this gift, or I have that gift. And then they begin to compare which gift is the most important and the most valuable and the most powerful and all that kind of stuff. I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. And so we don't have any of the gifts. The Holy Spirit has all of the gifts, and God wants to use us to flow those gifts through to people who need the benefit or the manifestation of that gift to bless their life. And so, again, we can never lay claim to them. So, first of all, again, we talked about value. You know, the gift doesn't make us any more valuable to the church or to God or to anyone else. That value is given to us through the blood of Jesus. Now, tell somebody, spiritual gifts do not belong to us. I mean, we got to settle that in our hearts. They don't belong to us. We are just the pipeline that God can flow his gifts through to others who need to be ministered to by those gifts. So here's another thing that, again, is a little different than what many people teach, but we also are not limited to only being able to have one gift flow through us. Well, how do I know that? Well, because people will quote and they say, yeah, but he said he gives it to one, and he gives this one to one, and he gives this one to one. What he's really talking about here is the person that's receiving the gift. Now, the reason I know that we can have more than one gift flow through us is, and we'll look at it later, is, for instance, the scripture tells us that if you operate in tongues, as in the gift of tongues, that requires an interpretation, but we're also told that if you're going to do that, also be prepared to give the interpretation. That's two spiritual gifts at the same time, right? So if we were limited to one gift, then the Apostle Paul wouldn't have said, then be prepared to give the interpretation of this tongue. Everybody follow me? Because those are two separate gifts. And so we can flow, every one of us who has the Holy Spirit in us can flow in all nine gifts of the Spirit. And in fact, many of those gifts actually work together and flow together. So again, God will use any one of his children to be a pipeline of whatever gift is needed at the time if they're willing and obedient. Because, you know, there are times when, in other words, a gift of faith may be needed in this particular instance. We say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I got the gift of tongues, but I ain't got no gift of faith. So you're just going to die, sucker, right? Of course God's not going to do that. Any gift that comes from the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that it can flow through any one of God's people at any given time when the gift is needed, that particular gift. It's important to understand that, or else you'll limit yourself to operating only in one thing if you do that even. So again, I said it earlier, but many times more than one gift will operate together. So let me give you an example. So I'll use this one example. I remember Brother Jason one time, he was having an elbow issue. So God gives me a word of knowledge, and we see this happen all the time. But so he gives me a word of knowledge specifically about the elbow. And then he gives me the word of wisdom, what to do with it, with that word of knowledge. He gives me the word of wisdom and says, tell him to come up here and have men gather around. Now, that's often the way that God works it around here, because he's developing other people. Have men gather around and pray for him. And in that particular instance, he told me to go down as well and lay hands on him. And you guys know, I just don't do that very often unless I know I have a word from God to do that specifically. So not that I can't lay hands on people. It's just that I want to follow the leading of the Lord. And my desire as a pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So that particular day, as we laid hands on him and spoke life over him, I knew the gift of faith now went into operation, because I knew when we laid hands on him, I knew he was about to get healed. Okay, that was a gift of faith. It was in my knower. This man's about to be healed right now. And then it was an instant thing. So it wasn't just a healing, it was a miracle. So you got several gifts right there working together, all working together. Okay, so the Lord, he loves that. He don't have a problem stacking those gifts together to flow, whatever it takes, right? You know, when a doctor or when a surgeon is working on somebody, they're not bound by just one instrument, right? So God's the same way. And so when he's doing spiritual surgery or whatever it is he's having to do on people, he'll use different instruments to get it done. All right, so these manifestational gifts can be broken into three important groups. And we're probably not going to get too much into the gifts too much. It's really just kind of introduction. But those three gifts are this. They're the speaking gifts. That includes tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And we are going to also deal with what's called the knowing gifts. Those knowing gifts are distinguishing between spirits, which could be also discerning of spirits, message or the word of knowledge, or the message or the word of wisdom. Okay, those are the knowing gifts. So we have the speaking gifts, then we have the knowing gifts, and then we have the power gifts. The power gifts are the supernatural faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. So those are the power gifts. So all three of those categories, of course, they equal up to 9 gifts, but every one of them is valuable and needed in the body of Christ. So before we look at these verses, one other point is given in verse 11, and that is this. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, meaning that this is all through the working of the Holy Spirit, that He gives them to each one just as He determines, not that anyone possesses the gift, that they're given by the Spirit as He wills. In other words, He's the one that knows what's needed in the moment. Okay, so He dictates that. So I can't just conjure it up and say, you know what, I think I'm going to just go out and use the gift of faith today. Well, no, you can't do that. You can tell the Lord, look, I'm willing and open. If you want to flow through me with this gift, wonderful. Now, I'll tell you, all of these gifts, every single one of these gifts, I've experienced flowing through my life at some point. I have found, just like you will find, that there are certain gifts that I'm more comfortable with. There are certain gifts that I've gotten more used to or operating in. And there are certain gifts that I find to be more common in my life than others. But I'm not limited to any of them. God can use me in any of them. And again, you're the same way. Now, I want you to notice also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, in talking about this particular subject of that all the gifts can be used by any of God's people. Notice what it says. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works, everybody say all of them in all men. So God has not limited Himself to, well, I can only give this one one and give this one one and give this one one. So people have taken that and that's just really messed this whole idea or understanding of the gifts up and limited people. And then you got some people that just say, well, you know, because of the scripture, prophecy is the only one that's really important. So we kick all the rest of them out and only prophecy is important. And then they've taken the supernatural element out of prophecy and they think that prophecy and teach that prophecy just simply means that you're preaching the word of God. So they've taken all the supernatural element out of the gifts of the Spirit. So that's certainly not what God wanted. So again, we have the three gifts, three types of gifts. And so again, we don't possess the gift. They belong to the Holy Spirit. So nobody can get prideful and start boasting about their gifts. And we are just a pipeline. We're just conduits for those gifts to flow through others. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, I really got that picture of don't ever be afraid to pray for somebody, lay hands on somebody as the Lord directs you to do that. Somebody needs a healing. They need a miracle. Don't let the devil try to disqualify you and tell you all the reasons why you can't do that. Number one, you've already been made perfect in the Spirit. And this is not an operation of the flesh. This is an operation of the Spirit, right? And so no matter how disqualified the enemy's going to make you feel, you just simply say, you know, I've already been made perfect in Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that lives in me is absolutely perfect. And I know what His will is for this particular person. So I'm going to do it. And that's why I say everybody can just be a pipe. Now, if I think I'm supposed to be some big, great thing that, you know, everybody looks up to and I'm really this super, super gifted person that everybody knows, boy, if you want to get healed, you go see him. Listen, that's not what it's about. It's about everybody can just be a pipeline to flow through. It just takes a heart of saying, God, use me. I'm available. I trust you. And I know you're going to do something through me. and I'm going to give you all the glory. All right, so we're just conduits. I've taught this before too, but we're just reflectors of the light. You know, when he talks about us being the light of the world, he's still the source of light. We're just a reflector. It's like the sun and the moon. He's still like the sun. We're just like the moon. We're still light, but we're not the source of light. And so it's the same way with all the things of the Spirit. So the person receiving the gifts are the persons being ministered to by them. So let's talk about the speaking gifts. We'll start right there. And I've chosen to start with these because these really are the most known within most Spirit-filled churches. And so number one, let's start with prophecy. Prophecy is a strong word of the Spirit to the church. So there's no tongue that precedes prophecy. It's spoken in the known language of the people. And sometimes, and there are several purposes of prophecy, the spiritual gift, sometimes it's a word about a future event. How many of you have ever had a prophetic word spoken over you about a future event? And it was accurate. I mean, I'll never forget when I was running from being a pastor and this lady in a tent, her and her husband ministering in a tent on Moling Street, and calls us out after the service and says, you know, God says yes, 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 and specifically mentions three things that we were praying about to know whether or not we should go to Oklahoma and work in the church up in Oklahoma where we were for a while. And I mean, it was very specific. So that was definitely, you know, gifts of the Spirit in operation in this lady. But then she says something so crazy to me. Then she tells me, she says, listen, she called me pastor. And I corrected that real quick. And I said, no, I'm not a pastor. I said, I'll be a youth pastor. I'm going to go up there. We'll be working with youth. We'll be a youth pastor. She goes, yeah. You're going to do that for a little while. She said, but within 2 years, you're going to be the senior pastor of a church. And I didn't say anything, and we walked out of there. I told Pastor Cindy, I said, you know, it's so crazy how somebody could be so accurate about, you know, all these things that we've been praying for, so specific, so accurate, and then right at the end just completely miss it like that. I told her that, and she goes, oh, no, she didn't miss it. I said, oh, yeah, she missed it. It was about a year and a half we were here, right? So God knew. So why did I say that? Because that literally was a prophetic word into my future, and it was very accurate, okay? So sometimes a prophetic word works in that way, or it may be a word that'll impact certain people within the church, you know, but it's a strong word, and you know it's coming from the Spirit. And then another way is it sometimes is a word of confirmation, and this is usually the case is that when there's a prophetic word, it's a word that's confirming something to you, even if you were fighting it like I was, confirming something to you that God has already been speaking to you. Now, there are times, like, for instance, here's another example. I told you guys, most of you know about the song that I wrote for the homeless documentary and all of that, and, you know, 16 years before, you know, sitting in a church in San Antonio, people that I never saw before, they never saw me before, and he calls me out, and he'd been reading everybody's mail extremely accurately, and I knew it because I knew all these people, and he calls me out, and he says, God wants to use you in film. He's going to use you in film, and I'm like literally looking, like I have no idea, and I pointed at me, and he goes, yeah, you, and I said, film? And he says, yes, God's going to use you in film. It's going to touch people's lives. And it made no sense, never made any sense. Well, God had never told me anything like that before. So because he never told me anything like that before, it was not confirmation. So I thought either this guy just missed it, and that's possible, or else this is something that God plans to do later, and he's going to confirm it later. So because the word sometimes will be initially given, but if God hadn't been speaking to you about it already, don't act on it, because it may be the wrong time and so on and so forth. So I took that word and I stuck it on the shelf. And for 16 years, that word stayed on the shelf, but I never could get rid of it. I never could lose it. It would always stick to me. And from time to time, I would think about it, and I'd always think the same thing. I would think, that was the craziest thing. That made no sense at all. And I'm talking to a man who has a prophetic gift, and I'm telling him about it. And I said, I just don't get this. I don't understand it. I don't have any desire for this. I mean, that made no sense to me. And he goes, well, you never know. He said, you know, within a couple of days, you could get a phone call and it'll all make sense to you. And I said, well, maybe. 2 days later, I get a phone call. It all made sense to me. I get a phone call, and it's a lady saying, we believe we prayed about this. We believe God wants you to write the theme song for our documentary for homeless people. And it dawned on me in a moment. They all have to have a theme song. Shows and films all have music. You know, I thought my ministry was going to be music back then, by the way. But they all have to have music. And it just dawned on me that that's the way that God was going to use me in film. And then that film won an award, won a Telly Award at the film festival and all that, two different film festivals and all that kind of stuff. Well, I didn't say all that to boast or brag. I said that to say God saw that way in my future. I couldn't see it. But then God confirmed that word that was spoken. But I didn't dare try to act on it. I didn't move to Hollywood and try to become an actor, right? I just put it on the shelf, and then God confirmed, right? So, but sometimes it'll just be a word of confirmation. God's already been working with you. Like when we were praying about going to Oklahoma, the initial word that this lady gave us was a word of confirmation. God says to tell you, don't worry about your family and don't worry about your house and don't worry about your kids, very specific things. God's got all that stuff taken care of already. And so that was a word of confirmation. Yes, 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 were the exact words. So sometimes a prophetic word, again, it confirms something, whether to the church or to an individual or members of the body that God's already been dealing with them about. And sometimes a prophetic word is a word of correction. It's a word of correction of sin, or it's a warning to repent. Those are not fun to get, by the way, but if you ever get one, you ought to be thankful for it. I believe that God, that before especially a man or woman of God, before God has to expose them, and we'll talk about that later, before God has to expose them, he gives them many opportunities to repent. And many times he will send somebody who will speak to them with a prophetic word, a warning that you need to repent of this. And if they do, wonderful. If they don't, eventually God will expose them. And again, we've seen that over and over and over again in our country. So sometimes the Spirit will move with a word of admonishment to get right with God or to turn from certain specific sins. And sometimes God can be real general, but the more stubborn we get, the more specific he has to get. And so prophetic words can also be a word of encouragement. Man, how many of you like those? I like those. Those are my favorites. Yeah, word of encouragement. And that's when God moves by the Holy Spirit with a strong word, and he'll say things like, you know, hang on, keep the faith, you know, or that, you know, increase and blessing is coming your way. I thank God for those prophetic words that we've gotten over the years. And of course, they, if they were God, they manifested. I thank God for that. And so let's talk a little bit more. So we're talking about prophecy. Let's talk about this, a guide for prophecy. And again, I understand this is just refreshing to most of you guys, but it must line up with the Word of God. If it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not a word from God. It is not true prophecy. And we know that there are false prophets out there. The Bible warns us that there would be false prophets out there. So it must line up with the Word of God. And generally, it generally is a word that confirms something again that God's already doing. A word on personal prophecies. Sometimes the realm of prophecy is moved from a church setting to an individual setting. And that's okay, but sometimes that can get messy. And so there must be guards set in place on this type of a setting. And so, and one of the reasons is because there are certain people who will get caught up in trying to be Mr. Spiritual when they want to impress everybody with the gifts. And when they move into the realm of the flesh, they're going to tell people things that did not come from God that can cause people to stumble, cause people to take wrong directions in their life, so on and so forth. So there has to be some boundaries, some guards. So here's what I would ask about somebody who's wanting to prophesy. Now listen, again, God can use any one of his children in any of these gifts, but God does want us to have our motives right to use the gifts. Okay, y'all understand that. So what I do, especially if it's somebody's claiming to be a minister of some kind, or, you know, especially in a fivefold because it's real popular right now to people call themselves apostle and prophet and all that kind of stuff. Now, I do believe that there were apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers here with us today. I do believe that that is an office that is that people still walk in, that God still ordains and raises up. But some people get caught up in all that kind of stuff. And so here's some questions. What is the credible history of that person being used in prophecy? If this is a person who has prophesied and they speak in prophecies all the time, but none of it happens, none of it comes true, none of it is accurate, I'm not listening to that. I'm not taking that into myself. And there are plenty of people who prophesy all kinds of things. And then when it's proved false, then they always have to come up with some reason why, you know, well, it was that other person's fault. Now, it is true that, understand, many times prophetic words are conditional. And it's conditional on if we're going to obey God. So God, prophetic words many times speak into your potential. God says, this is where I want to take you. This is where I see you. But we can do everything opposed to that and not do a single thing God told us to do and never see that prophetic word come into be. And that is our fault, right? And it was God speaking to our potential, but we wouldn't cooperate with him. So that doesn't mean that that was a false prophet, okay? But we do have to be very careful. So when somebody's always claiming to give prophetic words and they're off and they're wrong, then don't accept that. And at the very least, take it and put it on the shelf. So the second thing is, do they have legitimate spiritual authority in their life? Before somebody comes and wants to start prophesying to me, I want to know who's your pastor. I want to know who is the spiritual authority in your life. Who has God placed you under? And to be honest with you, that's very, very important, because I've had people tell me, oh, well, such and such is my pastor. And then I call that pastor and I want to know, tell me about such and such. Tell me about this person. And that pastor says, watch out for them. That's all I can tell you. They're a false prophet. Okay. I've had people claim that I was their pastor. I was not their pastor. But they try to run on our credibility, and they're out there doing all kind of stupid stuff and saying all kind of stupid stuff. So who's their pastor? Who do they submit to? If it's within a church meeting, have they been authorized by the legitimate authority or the pastor to give personal prophecies? Ask them. Now, I will tell you that we're not so strict that we say, well, you can prophesy, but you can't. You can prophesy. But I'll tell you that if it's within a church setting, I tell people, listen, my authority and Pastor Cindy's authority in your life ends when you walk out that door. I don't run anybody's house. I'll never show up at your door looking for the tithe. I know pastors that do that. We're not going to do that. Okay. My authority ends when we're outside of the operation of this church. If it's not a Church of the Promise function, I have no authority there in your life. Okay. Except for what is yielded, you know, by the people who say, you know, they want to know, they want to hear what is God saying. And so then a church meeting, because prophecy needs to be judged, the Bible says, then you need to make sure that people are legitimate and they are authorized, that they're not just some kook that's out here saying all kinds of stuff. Because look, we've had it. We've had people come in here and they'll hem somebody up out there in the bathroom hall or some other place like that and start trying to speak something prophetic that was not from God. And they were out of order. So the first thing is, if they're out there when they're supposed to be in here, that's out of order. One day I had somebody, I was sitting right there in the front, and I didn't see anybody go out or anything like that, but I'm sitting right there in the front, and I heard the Lord say, go out in the lobby right now, go into the hallway right now. I walked out that door, I went in the hallway, and I'm telling you, there's a lady, she had this young girl's eyes were this big, she had her hemmed up against the wall, and she's prophesying to her, but it was absolutely, totally false. This woman was on a ego trip, and so I walked up to her, and I said, what are you doing? The girl, as soon as she had an opportunity, she took off and ran in the bathroom. And so I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but I had to tell this lady, she was a much older lady than me. I had to tell her, listen, this is out of order. This is out of order. You should not be out here in this hallway doing this. I said, if you're going to be a part of this church, you need to get back into the sanctuary. And she did. She didn't stay long after that. But listen, that's not squelching the gift of the Spirit. I had a warning from God. Something's out of order. Now, I didn't know about that. The Lord told me. So again, I'm saying all this not because this is not an ego trip thing for a pastor. This is, as a pastor, as a shepherd, part of our job is to guard the sheep, right? And so again, here's another question. Is there tangible fruit coming forth from their life. Now, a person can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't have to have everything together on the outside. But you should see some fruit of the Spirit operating in their life if you're going to receive a word from them. Because words are powerful, right? Person given the prophecy, here's another thing. The person given the prophecy or giving you a word, if they're not your pastor, they should encourage you to have that word judged like the Bible says, and to go to a pastor, to a trusted pastor. So if somebody has a specific word, a prophetic word, where especially if they're trying to give you some kind of direction in your life. Now, it's one thing to just encourage a person, but if there's some kind of a directive involved in this prophetic word, then if they are legitimate and they have the maturity, they should encourage you, have this word judged. I've had a lot of people tell me this. Look, I feel like this is what the Lord's saying. Go talk to the pastors about this. Nothing wrong with that, right? And if they don't say that, then this is a good thing to do. At that point is when you say, well, I appreciate that. I'm going to take this to the pastor, and I want to get their confirmation on this first and take it before the Lord and, you know, on timing and everything. And if they know they're wrong, their eyes are going to get big as saucers, and they're going to know better. They're going to know they overstepped. All right. So is there tangible fruit coming from their life? The person given that prophecy should not have anything to hide. They should not have a problem with the pastor of the church hearing this word and judging it, or whoever, you know, others that are in authority that God has ordained. And then one last thing, we're going to end with this, is personal prophecy should never take the place of consistent spiritual growth through the personal Bible study and prayer and activity of an individual within the body of Christ. Understand, I've seen this. Growing up in this environment and growing up in charismatic circles, I've seen this. People will run from one place to the other, to the other, to the other, with these words on their mouth. Give me a word. I need you to give me a word. Oh, can you give me a word? Look, how about you go before the Lord, talk to the Lord, let Him give you a word, and then maybe God can use me or another spiritual leader in your life to confirm that word, but go to the Word of God first of all for yourself. Go through those channels. Stop chasing words from people all over the nation. Well, I heard this prophet's going to be here and this prophet's going to be here. Man, gas is too expensive to do all that. You don't need all that. You could sit right there in your own house and read the Word of God. You can pray and hear from God. You can talk to those that God has put in your life as spiritual leaders to confirm words to you. So again, those are just kind of warnings, and I know this may not be super exciting, but it's important. And if we're going to have those kind of things, and I want those things in operation in this body, not only in the four walls of this house, but outside of the four walls of this house, man, I want you to be used by the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit, but we need to make sure that we're doing it His way and with the right motive. Amen? Hopefully maybe something was refreshed in some of you tonight, or maybe something new even, but let's just pray. Father, thank you for every person that's come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, they came out, I know some of them came tired today, but they still came, Lord, because they're hungry for you, hungry for your word, hungry for you to work and move in and through their lives, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord. I know that that honors you. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through this teaching, I pray, Father God, that for each one of us, we would hear what you're trying to say to us as a church and as individuals. And Lord, we just welcome you. We want the gifts of the Spirit in operation in this body, in this house. God, I pray, Lord, that this church would become like the church in the book of Acts, the way you always intended for it to be. And Lord, we thank you for the signs, wonders, and the miracles and the things that we have seen. But God, we're just looking for an increase of all of those things. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to tune our ear to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would help us to know, Lord, through the other gifts of the Spirit, to know when you're leading us, and help us to know your voice as opposed to all others. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for working in these lives, in these families. Help us, Father. We're in such a dark time in this world. But Lord, you gave us your light. And so, Lord, we want to be that pipeline for you. that brings that light and that truth and that love and that healing and that power and that salvation to people who desperately need it. I thank you, Father, that you've qualified each and every person in this room to be pipelines and conduits of your gifts, of your anointing. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.